Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskritya naram caiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayam udirayat krishne swadamo bhagate dharma gyanadibhisaha kalo nasta jisham mesha paramnarko dunoditaha. The Srimad Bhagavatam is as brilliant as the sun. It has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his abode, accompanied with religion, knowledge, etc. Persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance in this age of Kali shall get light from this Purana. Before we read the Srimad Bhagavatam, I always like to remind myself what we're reading, what we're into here. According to Lord Chaitanya, he says, Krishna Bhakti Rasa Swarup Sri Bhagavata Tate Veda Shastra Haite Paramahatva. Srimad Bhagavatam gives direct information of the mellow derived from service to Krishna. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam is above all other Vedic literature. Srimad Bhagavatam is accepted as the essence of all Vedic literature and Vedanta philosophy. Whoever tastes the transcendental mellow of Srimad Bhagavatam is never attracted to any other literature. Srila Prabhupada said that one who has developed pure Krishna consciousness and has served the pure devotee, his spiritual master, can understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Others cannot. The Supreme Lord said, O Grandfather Brahma, one should regularly hear the famous Srimad Bhagavatam with faith. Know for certain, such hearing is the only means of satisfying me. One who daily reads or hears even a half or a quarter slok of Srimad Bhagavatam, a quarter slok, if you hear a quarter of a verse, you'll get the results of giving 1,000 cows in charity. Vaishnavas like Prahlad are always present wherever topics of Bhagavatam are discussed. Those who worship Srimad Bhagavatam are beyond the jurisdiction of Kali. In the age of Kali, I become very pleased with those who regularly worship Srimad Bhagavatam and dance without fear. My dear son, as long as Srimad Bhagavatam is present in one's house, for that long, his forefathers consumed milk, ghee, honey, and water. That's nice to know, isn't it? Covers the whole family. They're out there having milk and ghee and honey. And one who with devotion gives the gift of Bhagavatam resides in my abode for millions of kalpas. It goes on and on. This is Bhagavat Mahatma. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. So today we're reading the new chapter, Akrura's Arrival in Vrindavan. This is 10th canto, chapter 38. It reminds me of, we did a play in Detroit once, and Govardhan was the choreographer, and he was the director. And my friend Manasuda, who's a book distributor, got the part. And he never was really in a play before, but we talked him into doing it anyway. I had a part of a demigod or something. I just stood there. I didn't say anything. But Manasuda got the part of Akrura. So we dressed him up with a mustache and a beard, and he looked really funny. He looked like Akrura. And he only had two sentences. So he gets up on the stage, and there's Kamsa, who is Govardhan. And he's the director of the play, and he's sitting there on the stage, and Manasuda walks up, and he comes up with his line, my dear Kamsa. And he gets stage fright. He's just frozen. And he's standing there looking at Kamsa. You know, and seconds go by, and we're looking around, we're all trying not to laugh. And he says it again, my dear Kamsa. And that was it, nothing. And Govardhan's sitting there, Kamsa, he's trying to, you know, see, he's going, because he had two sentences, you know. My dear Kamsa, I have brought Krishna and Balaram, whatever, you know, to your Dhanar Yagya. Couldn't get it out. But it just, when I got this yesterday, when Vegavati said, could you give my class for me? I said, yeah, what is it? And she told me it's Akrura. And immediately I thought of Manasuda standing out there on stage with the spotlight right there, hundreds of people watching. My dear Kamsa. And that was it. He just couldn't get another word out. Anyway, Manasuda, if you're listening, Hare Krishna, glorious Prabhupada. Okay. Text one, the chapter summary. This chapter describes Akura's trip from Mathura to Vrindavan, his meditation on Krishna and Balaram along the way, and the honor of the two lords showed Akura upon his arrival. Early in the morning, on the day after Kamsa ordered him to bring Krishna and Balaram to Mathura, Akura prepared his chariot and set off for Gokul. As he traveled, he thought, I am about to attain the great good fortune of seeing Sri Krishna's lotus feet, which are worshipped by Brahma, Rudra, and other demigods. Although Kamsa is an enemy of the Supreme Lord and his devotees, still it is by Kamsa's grace that I will get this great boon of seeing the Lord. That's the devotee's mentality. He's going to go see Krishna. He's thinking, you know, Kamsa said, here's a new chariot. Go get Krishna and Balaram and bring him here and we're going to kill him. But the devotee's thinking, I get to go see Krishna? And he's thinking, how merciful, how wonderful I get this chance. By Kamsa's grace, I've gotten this chance. When I first catch sight of his lotus feet, all my sinful reactions will be destroyed at once. I will descend from the chariot, fall on the feet of Krishna and Balaram, and even though I have been sent by Kamsa, the omniscient Sri Krishna will certainly harbor no animosity toward me. As Akura thus thought to himself, he arrived in Gokul at sunset. Alighting from his chariot in the cowherd pasture, he began rolling around in the dust in great ecstasy. Then Akura continued on to Braj. When he saw Krishna and Balaram, he fell at their lotus feet, and both the lords embraced him. Afterward, they brought him to their residence, inquired from him about the comfort of his trip, and honored him in various ways, offering him water for washing his feet, argya, a seat, and so forth. They relieved him of his fatigue by massaging his feet, and they served him a delicious banquet. Maharaj Nanda also honored Akura with many sweet words. I was reading in Krishna book last night. The Prabhupada said when he got there, Balaram gave him honey and milk. That was the first thing he gave him. And then they offered him sandalwood paste, and they washed his feet, and they gave him a massage, and then they gave him a feast. They cooked all kinds of wonderful dishes for him to eat. And it's interesting because he was thinking, when I get there, he was going in his mind. I read this chapter, and he was in his mind, he was going through the whole thing. What's going to happen when I get there? I'm going to see the Lords. I'm going to get freed from all the reactions of my past sins, and I'm going to be in ecstasy seeing Krishna and Balaram. And then they'll immediately say, hey, uncle, come to our house, come. And they'll ask me, how's things going in Mathura? And that's exactly what happened when he got there. He sees them from a distance. First he saw the footprints, and he rolls on the ground, and he's in bliss. Then he actually sees Krishna and Balaram coming. Remember these? When I was out in the airport in 73, these were the books we had. They had a silver dust cover on it. But these things, I mean, these are big books. I remember going out there and saying, what do you do? And I would just sell these to people, you know. So you walk up to people and hand them one of these. And I remember this band was coming through. They were bringing in their drums and all their equipment. And I tried to give the Krishna book to the first three guys. And the guy goes, hey, give it to the Count. And it happened to be Count Basie. So I took around, here comes Count Basie. You know, he's kind of big. And he's rolling through, and they're going to give it to the Count, you know? So I say, hey, Count! And I hand him the Krishna book. And Count Basie grabs the book, and he goes, well, what is it? And I said, it's a Krishna book. It's all about Krishna. I didn't know what to say. Well, I mean, they just had those books to go out and sell these, you know? And we used to open it up and show him the pictures. So I started to show Count Basie the pictures. And he goes, hey, man, I got to go. How much is it? And I said, well, that's the good thing. We just give them to you, and you just give a donation. So the Count reaches in, and he gave me some money. And his other band members came over and said, hey, what is it? What do you got, Count? And Count looks up, and he goes, I got Krishna. Well, that was kind of cool. Anyway, when I got this out last night, I was reading it. I was like, man. I mean, because the new Krishna books, you get the whole, this is volume one. You get the whole Krishna book, you know, in Bhagavatam size almost, you know, the whole book. This thing, you got this, you got something. You had to figure out where to put this in the plane. I mean, you know, you get one of these, you got to repack. But anyway, I thought that was ecstatic. We used to go out and give those to people all the time. All right, verse 1. Sri Shuka Uvacha.
Sri Shuka Uvacha.
Akuro picha tamratring. Marupuryam mahamutihi. Usit varatamastaya. Prayayau nandagokulam. Shri Shuka uvacha. Akruro picha tamratring. Marupuryam mahamuti. Ushit Bhavratamastaya Prayayau Nandagokulam Shri Shuka Uvacha Akuro Pitsa Tangratring Madhupuryam Mahamuti Ushit Bhavratamastaya Prayayau Nandagokulam. Akaropi chatam ratring. Uvacha. Shukdev Goswami said. Akrura. Akrura. Opi cha. And. Tam. That. Ratrim. Night. Marupuryam. In the city of Mathura. Mahamotihi. High-minded. Ushitva. Remaining. Pratam. His chariot. Ashtaya. Mounting. Prayayau. He set off. Nandagokulam. For the cowherd village of Nandamaraj. Sukadeva Goswami said, after passing the night in the city of Mathura, the high-minded Akrura mounted his chariot and set off to the cowherd village of Nandamaraj. King Kamsa ordered Akrura to go to Vrindavan on Ekadasi of the dark fortnight of the Vedic month of Phalgun. After spending the night in Mathura, Akrura left early the next day. That morning, Narada offered prayers to Krishna in Vrindavan, and in the afternoon, the demon Vyoma was killed there. At dusk, Akrura entered the Lord's village. Namashreshtam manumapi sachi putra matra swarupam rupam tasya grajam murupurim maturim gostavatim Radha kundam giribaram moho radhika madhavasyam prapto jasya prititikripaya shigurum tanganatosmi. Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghu Yuga Shri Jiva Gopalaka. Imagine that if your job was to go pick up somebody at the airport. They used to do that all the time in St. Louis and in Detroit and different places. because I usually had a pretty decent car. And so when somebody was coming in, they'd say, "Hey, Div, go pick up Maharaj." And it was always fun to go pick him up and hear what was going on, ask him what the latest thing was. But can you just imagine if somebody said, "All right, go and go pick up Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram." And the whole time he was going, he was in ecstasy. You know, he got the chariot, and he was just, his whole meditation was, "I'm going to go see the Lord. I get to see face to face Krishna and Balaram." And that was his whole mood when Akura thought, "I'm going to go see the Lord." And when he saw him, he was in ecstasy. And that's exactly what happened. I tell people all the time when I give them books, I talk about peace of mind. I hand somebody a book, whatever the book is. It might be Perfection Yoga, it might be Chant and Be Happy, whatever it is. I hand them the book, and before they can think or say anything, I give them the book and I say, "These are books that talk about how to find inner peace." And people really like to hear that. Prabhupada said, "Life is short, and it's riddled with disease and anxiety. So even if the physical body isn't suffering from some disease, which it usually is, but even if it isn't, there's all kinds of other things going on subtly. There's mental anxiety." And Prabhupada said, because of that, no one is peaceful. And Prabhupada writes here in the Krishna book, after taking Akura by the hand, Krishna and Balaram brought them to the sitting room where they offered him a nice place to sit, washed his feet, worshipped him with all presentations, gave him honey and milk and other presentations, and Akura was comfortably seated. Both Krishna and Balaram then offered him a cow in charity, and they brought all valuable, palatable dishes, and after he had eaten, then Balaram gave him betel nut and spices, as well as pulp of sandalwood, just to make him more pleased and more comfortable. The Vedic system of receiving guests completely observed by Lord Krishna. Krishna does these things to teach. It is a Vedic injunction that even if a guest comes to your house, if he's your enemy, he should be received so well that he does not even apprehend any danger from you. If the host is a poor man, at least he can offer a straw mat, a sitting place, and a glass of water. Krishna and Balaram welcomed Akura, just befitting his exalted position. And then after they had done this, he said, of course, Krishna asked, "How are things going? How's things in Mathura?" And he kind of answered his own question, and he said, "My dear Akura, what shall I inquire? I know that you're all protected by Kamsa, who is the most cruel and demoniac." I know that you're all being protected by Kamsa, and he's the most cruel and demoniac. His protection is just like a slaughterhouse keeping protection of his animals, because he's going to kill them in the future. Because he remembered, Akura was thinking, I stay with my enemy, with Krishna's enemy. I'm going to Krishna on the plea of Krishna's enemy because he wants to kill Krishna. And then he thought to himself, but Krishna's the Supreme Personality of God. If he's going to know, he'll know that. So he kept, you know, because I was reading this and Govinda said something like, "Can you imagine going like that from the enemy?" And I said, "Well, listen to what he's saying, though, because he feels, oh, I'm going from my enemy. This is so inappropriate." But then he goes, no, Krishna's the Supreme Personality of God. He knows everything. He'll know. He even said, he's not going to hold this against me. But his whole mood was love. He loved Krishna and Balaram, and he just wanted to see Krishna and Balaram. But like I was going to say about this thing about peace of mind, because I get used to saying that to people all the time, Prabhupada says, without any peace, you can't make any progress. And anyway, I met this guy yesterday, and I handed him the book. He was, turned out he was a veteran. He was a Marine. And his job was, he was a sniper. And he told me that I did my job, I did my duty, but I hated what I did. And he said, I was basically a murderer. I would sneak up on people, and from 1,500 meters away, I would kill people. And he said he had these horrible nightmares, and he suffered. Because when I handed him the book, I said, these books talk about how to get inner peace. And he just walked away and got in his car. Then he came back to me, and he said, do you have a minute? Can I ask you about inner peace? And the guy started crying. This is a Marine. This guy was, he turned out he was 80, think he was 83. And he said, I've been suffering with these pictures in my mind of things that I did years ago. And he said, I can't find any relief. He said, I took shelter of alcohol for 20 years. And he said, it ruined his marriage and almost killed him. And he finally got off of the alcohol. And he said, but he's miserable and he's haunted by what he did. I mean, I just take it for granted. I give people books and they go, what is it? And I go, it's a book on inner peace. It tells you how to get peace of mind. And 9 out of 10 people think that's a good idea. You know what I mean? Would you like some peace? Would you like to have peace of mind? And this man, tears were coming out of his eyes when he told me. He said, tell me more. So I taught him the mantra. He told me he's a Baptist and he goes to church, but he doesn't get any relief there. And I told him I was a Catholic, and I didn't get relief there either. But I said, but I chant this mantra, and it gives me peace. So I taught the guy the mantra, and I gave him another book. And he was so thankful that he met me. Like, I mean, I distribute hundreds and hundreds of books a week, and I don't think about it. I take it for granted. But when you'd meet some guy like that who had to come back, he got out of his car, and he came back to me, and he wanted to learn, what do I do to get that peace? And then I was reading last night, and Prabhupada said that you have to have peace. Without peace, you can't move forward. You can't progress. So anyway, I mean, there's something to this. When we go out on Sankirtan and interrupt the conditioned souls in their journey, like I was at this race this weekend, everybody's going to see. They go to the drag race, and the cars are so fast. I mean, they got these rails. They're just straight. It's like an engine with wheels. And they got 3,000 horsepower, 5,000. It's crazy. And they sit down behind it, start it up, and in less than 3 seconds, they go a quarter mile. So it's like, you hear this, and that's it. Then it stops, and parachutes come out of the back, and they stop before they hit the trees. That's all they do. So these people, 160,000 of these people, come to this Gator Nationals. It's been going on for 40 years. And that's all they do. And they bring their kids, and the whole family's there, and they're all set up. They're cooking out there. They're tailgating like they do at the football games. They park their trucks and stuff, and they start charcoal, and they start cooking and drinking. And then I just walk through them all and give them books. I'm giving them cookbooks and yoga and chant, be happy, whatever. Huge. I distributed, you know, in 3 days, I distributed over 400 books out there. And so many different people. I met these Swedes last night. They were, of course, they're from Sweden. I said, where? Stockholm, Gothenburg? And he said, no, I'm 800 miles north of Stockholm. That's like where Santa Claus lives. I mean, there's nothing there. That's just, you know, that's maybe a polar bear or something, right? And I said, do you see that? That's the sun. And they were like, yeah, we love this weather. It's wonderful. Skol, yeah. So they all bought books. You know, his wife came out of the truck and said, what is it? I heard yoga. Yoga's really hot now. People like yoga. So I was telling the husband, I said, here's a book on yoga. And after you drive through this, you're going to need some peace of mind. And people drive psycho out there. It's a huge field, like 10 miles one way and 6 miles square. It's just a field. In the middle, they have their arena with the track and all the stands. So these people, and there's cops out there leading people and trying to get them to slow down. And these 160,000 people are driving in there. And it's a sea of people just coming in. And I'm just looking at them thinking, all right, who's going to get the mercy? Who's going to get this? Who's not? And that's what I did. And I was out there giving out books to people, and it was like, and it's stinky because people are cooking, and it's so loud. There's also rock and roll music playing really loud, but that's not nearly as loud as the engines when they do the quarter mile. It's like, you know, and that happens, you know, every 30, 40 seconds. So in between you're talking, I hand somebody a lollipop. Here, we're giving out smile pops today. Can you smile? And they're like, what? And it's a benefit here. And I give them the book, and my wife's there. I go, here's a cookbook. Cook them something good to eat, you know. And they go, oh, what are we doing? I said, well, you just give a donation. And then they give a donation, and that's how they just go car to car to car, the next car. And I was out there thinking, whoever gets this, you know, they're not just getting the race. Like the guy I met that came, this guy was there from Alaska, and he was just saying, well, I like your weather here, it's wonderful. I said, where are you from? He said, I'm from Alaska, you know. So I gave him the book, and I was talking to him, and I was talking to Madan Mohan, and Madan Mohan said he thought he came there for the race, but actually he came there to get a book. And that's exactly the way I saw it out there. And many people that I walk up to go, no, I don't want this, you know, no thank you. Or I hand the book and they go, no, give it to somebody else. But many, many people take the book and they want the book. Another thing that happened, this lady came back, She gave a few dollars, and she said, "We're really in a hurry. I got to go get tickets." And she said, "Here." And she handed me a few dollars, and I handed her a book, and she threw it in the car. And they came back later. I was still working the next row of cars, and the lady saw her book in the car and went and looked at it, and she came out and found me and said, "I didn't realize what you gave me. Let me give you a nice donation," because she saw that the book was actually valuable. It wasn't just some, you know, it wasn't just another thing. And you see that in the jiva. You see these living entities that they're just going out there, they're eating meat and drinking and going to a drag race. And the next thing you know, they're standing there with Prabhupada's book in their hand and they're asking me, "What is this? What about this?" And that says mantra meditation on there. I said, I gave it to this guy. I said, "It's got an interview with the Beatles, 1969. And his friend goes, "The Beatles?" And he grabs the book and he goes, "I love the Beatles." And I said, "This is about the Beatles when they're not on stage. This is backstage with their spiritual master." And they're like, "Wow, can I get one?" And that was, you know, especially that age group. You know, I mean, people who are my age and a little older, they like the Beatles. Some young people go, "Beatles?" And I go, "Yeah, just give it to your mom. Give it to your grandfather. Give it to..." But the point is, though, is whenever they do get any one of these books, whichever book it is, like this lady in Cleveland, I've told this story before, but it's amazing. I was just chanting japa one morning in the temple and knock on the door. Here comes this lady. She was a custodian at one of the buildings downtown where we did Harinam. And when we did Harinam, we would give out, as we do, a lot of little books. And Reservoir of Pleasure was one of them. And the lady was cleaning a garbage can. And when she dumped out the garbage can, and she had the book in her hand. She knocks on the door at the temple, and she said, "Can I find out about this?" "Nice lady." And I said, "Come on in." I said, "Where'd you get the book?" And she said, "I found it in the bottom of a garbage can. Little tiny, you know, 15 pages, but there's a beautiful picture." She said, "I saw this picture, and I thought, now who would throw this beautiful book in a garbage can?" Right? So somebody got the book and went, "Krishna," you know, and threw it. Then this lady's taking out the trash and goes, "Wow, this is in the trash can? And there's an address in the book." So she comes to the temple. I mean, this is the potency of Prabhupada's books. This is not some ordinary thing. You give somebody a book and he doesn't like it, he throws it in the trash. Then some pious soul comes along and Krishna's going, "Hey, I'm here." And she gets the mercy. That's the way transcendental things work. I like this verse. This is spoken by the gopis from the 10th canto. We read it a few months ago. Famous verse. Tava katam ritam tapta jivanam kavibiriditam kalamasahapaham shravana mangalam srimaratatam bhuvigranati ye puridajana. The gopis pray to Lord Krishna, "The nectar of your words and the descriptions of your activities are the life and soul of those suffering in this material world." I mean, that sentence itself, this is what's in every single page of what Prabhupada wrote. Nectar of your words and descriptions of your activities. And what are those things? Those are the life and soul of those suffering in this material world. Do you know anybody that's suffering in this material world? This material world is just, there's just always something. I don't know about you, but my family's always calling. Whenever the phone rings, somebody died, somebody broke something, somebody fell, somebody's getting a surgery, because we're getting older, you know, and it's... Man, old age is not going to be any kind of fun. But anyway, those suffering in the material world, their only shelter is to hear the words and activities of Krishna's pastimes. And it goes on to say, these narrations transmitted by learned sages eradicate all sinful reactions and bestow good fortune upon whoever hears them. So you go to somebody's car and you give them the yoga book, or wherever, and they got the yoga book. They got this in the car. They got the nectar, they got the words, they got the descriptions. They got that in their car. That's going to save them from suffering in the material world. Now, anybody who hears this, whoever hears them, these narrations are broadcast all over the world, and they are filled with spiritual power. And whoever hears them, they get that mercy. They get freed from their material suffering and eradicates all their sinful reactions. It's like get out of jail free card. For nothing. You didn't do anything. You must have done something previously. But I mean, I meet these people all the time. They don't look to be pious. They don't look to be looking for Krishna. They don't look to be spiritually inclined. And I go up to them and go, hey, excuse me. And before you go into this concert or this football game or Walmart, I just want to give you this. and I give them prashadam, and I give them a book, and I give them a mantra card, and all of a sudden, they got this. They got the nectar of the words and the activities of Krishna, and then it's up to them. They can do whatever they want with it. Some people just take it home and go, somebody at the house goes, well, what is that? And I don't know, I got it from some guy at the mall. You know, and then boom, it's sitting there. And Prabhupada said, when that happens, some solid work is done. When a book goes into one's hand, he even said, what good is your 3-minute speech? He said, they will hear it, they will go, but if they take a book with them, they will take that book, they might give it to a friend, they might take it home, but whatever, some solid work is done. And Prabhupada guaranteed that if you do this service of book distribution, he said, my Guru Maharaj will bless you 1,000,000 times more than me. Now, who wouldn't want that? And we all have this huge debt that can never be repaid to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada all of a sudden says, do this service, my guru will bless you 1,000,000 times more than me. What kind of opportunity is this? If we don't take advantage of this opportunity and give another jiva Krishna some time in our day, give him a mantra card, give him something, give him prasadam, give him a book, just tell him Hare Krishna. I just walk around saying Nitai. I'm walking through a crowd at Walmart, I pull out my phone, and I go, yeah, Nitai. Where's Radhe? Do I have to pick up Chaitanya? What about Gora? Uh-huh. I'll get Radhe, you get Nitai. And everybody around me is hearing Nitai, Radhe, going, this is our, we keep the vibration going. If you keep the vibration going, I mean, I'm nuts. People are like, he's nuts. The guy's brainwashed, you know? But that's the whole idea. And I find in life, if I don't listen to Prabhupada, if I don't listen to something spiritual, it's real basic. If you're not doing something good, you're doing something bad. My mother used to tell us all the time, you know. And we did. We knew. We knew when we were smoking cigarettes. We knew it was bad. Nobody had to tell, hey, idiot, you're not supposed to do this. We're like, that's why we're hiding behind the garage, because we knew it was bad. And my mother would say, you know better. You know this is wrong. And we're like, well, you know, that's half the fun of doing something wrong. And that's why we're here. That's why each and every one of us came to the material world. We just couldn't stand it that Krishna was having all the fun, and we wanted to be the center. So we came here with our insane try to just try to be the boss, try to be the Lord. And look what it gets us. Birth, death, old age, disease, these are the things you see immediately. But even when things are going so-called good for people, and I know people that have money, and I know people that are materially successful, they're some of the most unhappy people that I know. They have what they thought they wanted, and they're still not happy. What's that? What feeling is that? I remember Drishtadyumna's father, he had money coming out his ears. And he was a real right-wing. I mean, he was just, I couldn't stand him. But I had a relationship with him. I was one of his slaves for a while. And when we were doing something in Orlando and getting the temple established, he let us, he has a lot of money, so he facilitated us, let's say. And but I got involved with the man because he was helping us. He was funding us. He even bought books because he had a program and he worked for Seagram's. And when Seagram's, when you donate money and give charity, Seagram's will match it. So when he gave $40,000 to BBT, he would turn in the paperwork, and then Seagram's would give $40,000 to BBT. So we would double the donation, which was awesome. And to have somebody like Seagram's, one of the biggest liquor companies on the planet, supporting BBT, that was pretty cool. But anyway, I got involved with this man, and I got to know him personally. And he was very nice to me. I would take him to the bank. He was going blind, and he couldn't drive. So I'd take him to the bank, take him to the lawyer, take him. I was his slave for a little while. In between Sankirtan at the airport out at Orlando, I'd come back. And just his mother would come to me and ask for cookies. And so I'd have to give her brownies and cookies. And I was told, don't give her any sweets. She's sick. She's fat. Don't give her anything. And she would come to me and give me money and say, smuggle in the cookies the back way. So they had this huge house. And I'd bring in the brownies and the cookies from the back. But meanwhile, I go back to, you know, I'd say, hey, Jim, what's on the schedule, you know? And I usually have an hour or two. I'd have to go take them somewhere. And I'd be driving him around. He'd be complaining the entire time. This man had millions of dollars. Had nothing to do. He's retired. In retirement, they gave him $250,000 a year salary, full benefits. This guy had nothing to do but complain. And that's all he ever did. And he was suffering because he was going blind. So on his screen, he would get bigger and bigger. And finally, the thing would talk. He had to have it talk to him because he couldn't see the letters anymore on his screen. And he was, you know. And people are attached to what they're doing. They don't want to retire. Same with my dad when he was working. He didn't want to retire. He was like, what am I going to do now? They gave him some golf clubs and a watch. And, you know, he's like, I don't want to play golf. He likes, you know, he liked to work. Anyway, but these people with money, I've seen it. Because the funny thing is that people that don't have money, they just think, if I could just get some money, then I could fix all my troubles in my life. And I see people, especially when I'm working the older people down in the villages, certain days before the lotto, you can't even get in the stores. You go to Publix, there's 200 people lined up to buy their lottery tickets. And these are people that already got money, they're retired, they're in their 80s, they're just about dead anyway, but they still aren't free from greed and lust, you know, because that's what's in our heart. We got kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matar. These things are there. And nobody can stop it. The only people that have a chance is us. The devotees are the only ones. Daivihesha Gunami. Unless Krishna pulls that off, there's no way we can fight it. We can try to fight it, but it's just an exercise in futility. And that's exactly what it is. So anyway, the last sentence of that verse says, certainly those who broadcast the message of Godhead are most munificent. So Srila Prabhupada, most munificent, left the peace of Vrindavan, came here, and told us everything, gave us everything. And all we got to do is participate in it. Really, all you really got to do is hear about it. I'm going to read a little bit out of this. This is from, this is 11th canon, I think, right? Yeah. Maharaj Nimi. I love this verse. This verse says, O King, one who accepts this process of devotional service will never blunder on his path in this world. Even while running with eyes closed, he will never trip or fall. Now try that. Try running with your eyes closed. See if you won't trip or fall. But according to Bhagavatam, anyone who's taken up devotional service, davan nimilya vanetre, even running nimilya with your eyes closed, naskalen no pateriha, he will never trip and fall. And Prabhupada says here, the process of devotional service is a happy one. Devotional service consists of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu. So one can simply hear the chanting of the glories of the Lord, or one can attend philosophical lectures on transcendental knowledge. Simply by sitting. How hard is that? Simply by sitting, Prabhupada said. So you come here, you sit down, you shut up, and you open your ears, and you see if you maybe can learn something. Or maybe you could, I always just think, maybe I could just not be offensive today. I'll just sit here and be offenseless. And it's not easy. I try. But you have to try every day. So Prabhupada said, simply by sitting, one can learn. And then one can eat remnants of food offered to Krishna. Nice, palatable dishes. In every state, our service is simply joyful. It sounds easier than it is, I'd say that. But doesn't that sound easy? You just come, open your ears, lend yourself to oral reception, hear something, and then take prasad. Prabhupada says, nice, palatable dishes. Like, I'm still sick from the feast. I mean, I'm 58, and I can't eat like I used to. Of course, my tongue still wants to eat like I used to. And my wife brought me this maha, and it was unbelievable. I mean, there was samosas and kachoris and just everything. It was all maha. I had tulsi leaves. I just ate it. I ate like a pig. And then I ate another plate, just because I said, it's a feast day. I'm eating again, I don't care. And it was different preps, and I was like, I don't care, I got to do this, it's my service. So yesterday I fasted, and today I'm having a little yogurt with my digestive teas. But I can't give it up. I would rather be sick than not taste that prasad. It was so good, it was so incredible. I remember when Govardhan was really big, he was our president in Detroit, and he came back from the doctor one day and he said, everybody was laughing because we knew he was so sick because he ate. He really liked to eat. And the doctor said, you have diabetes. You can't eat sweets. So we came in his office and he was eating sweets. It was a 4 o'clock offering, you know, with the Simplies and fruit salad and whatever, you know. And he was pounding sweets. I said, go over down. And he goes, I'd rather die than not eat this. And I don't blame him. That's how I feel, too. And I eat less than I used to. I'm like, if somebody brings, like, I buy a bag of samosas for my kids, and they'll sit there and they'll just pound them, and I'll eat one. But on Chaitanya's day, it was just, and the prasadam was so good. Wasn't that such a nice feast? Everything was good. Anyway, Prabhupada makes it sound so easy, because it really is easy if we're simple-hearted. Right? Katanchana smrite yasmin duskaram sukaram bhavet vismrite vipritam syat. Sri Chaitanyam Namah. If you just remember, Katanchana, somehow or other, if you remember Lord Chaitanya, then difficult things become easy. Of course, vismrite, if you forget them, then even easy things become impossible. But that's why we do this every day. This is sadhana bhakti, is nityam bhagavat seva. You got to do it every day. If you don't do it every day, I mean, you can. I've tried all different kinds of methods, but in 40 years of trying to be a sadhaka, I find that if you keep doing it every day, it's a lot easier. And especially if you can be regulated, like if you do it at the same time every day. And when I get up in the morning and I'm chanting my japa or reading, if I do that, then I have that. Nobody can take that away from me the rest of the day. I have my sadhana. And you have to look at your day and see if you're spending more time with Prabhupada or more time with who knows what, you know, CNN or some. If things are so weird. Kali Yuga is so whacked that if you look at the wrong side of it, you can get depressed. And you don't want to get depressed because it's hard to be enthused and do your service because utsahan nishad daryat. You got to be enthusiastic. So we try to avoid the negative and read all this nectar. Prabhupada left us so much to read. There was one more thing I wanted to say. This is nice. It's from the same purport where all you got to do is sit down, shut up here, then eat prasadam. It's real easy. Then Prabhupada goes on to say, when Lord Chaitanya was in Benares promulgating the chanting of Hare Krishna with Prakashananda Saraswati, Lord Chaitanya was derided for being a sentimentalist. Sometimes philosophers criticize devotees because they think that devotees are in the darkness of ignorance and are philosophically naive sentimentalists. That's what they think. Prabhupada says, actually, this is not the fact. They are very, very learned scholars who have put forward philosophy of devotion. But this is my favorite part. But even if a devotee doesn't take advantage of their literatures, which I have seen in my 40 years of myself not taking advantage of Prabhupada's books, I wish I would have been reading. If I would have started reading them when I joined, the way I read in the last 10 years, I would know these books. Prabhupada says here, but even if you don't know that your spiritual master has this nectar for you, if he is sincere in his service, then he is personally helped by Krishna within his heart. So what kind of guarantee is this? That even if you don't participate, even if you don't read the books left by Srila Prabhupada, if you sincerely engage in devotional service by that bhakti, that seva will save you. And Prabhupada says it in the purport. And then he says again, even while running with eyes closed, the devotee on this path will never stumble. Anyway. Oh, I was going to tell the story of Michael Jackson. Somebody said something negative about Michael Jackson the other day, and I said, no, can't judge anybody. I met Michael Jackson in the airport in St. Louis. Now, it was hard to get to him because he had an entourage and bodyguards, and it was a little crazy, but they had to come through one area to go through the security. And so I waited there and ambushed them. And so when they came around the corner, I started going. I had a higher taste, and I know he's a vegetarian. I had the higher taste in my hand, and I start going through, and I get through the first two, and one guy grabs my arm. And I'm like, no, it's for Mike. It's a book. And then his assistant, who was right with Michael, came over to me and said, what is it? And I said, it's a vegetarian cookbook for Michael. And the guy shook my hand and said, oh, he'll love this. And Michael just looked over, and they were just, you know, he wouldn't stop. Now, this is the good part. He gets on the plane, he flies to L.A. When Michael Jackson gets to L.A., he meets Vaish, of all people, you know? I warmed him up in a cookbook. I didn't even get to talk to him. Just gave him the cookbook, and they split. Then he lands, and he sees Vaish out there selling books. So they call him in. And Vaish goes in and sits with Michael Jackson. And Michael's like, what? You know, tell me about this. So he gives him a Gita. And Michael whipped out $20 and bought the Gita from him. So Michael Jackson got the cookbook and the Gita, and he got a little darshan with Vaish. So he got to sit there and talk with Vaisheshika Prabhu. So, you know, you see what you want about Michael Jackson, but there's a lot of guys out there that didn't get Vaish's association. They also didn't get a Gita and a cookbook. And also I want to say, Vaish just called me last night. They do marathons, like, all the time. You know, I mean, the wind blows. It's a marathon. You know, the sun came up today. It's a marathon. You know, so it was Gaur Purnima marathon. And they had those full sets of CCs, you know, for $99. Vice is up there at a Viasan saying, I don't know who put this $99 price on here. We're going to find out who did this. But while it's here, take advantage of this sale and buy these books. So they went ahead and sold, and this is less than a month. They sold 182 sets of Chaitanya Charitamritas for Gaur Purnima. 182 sets. I mean, no, it took them. This is how it broke down. It took him a month, but last night, in 1 hour, he sold 71 sets in 1 hour. Vaish gets on the mic, gets online, and he has people, they can't say no to him. And he has people buying books, you know, and people have already bought a set, buy one for your grandma, buy one for your uncle, buy one for your kids. And they just, you know, I mean, that's what they do. Prabhupada said, if we just focus on this one activity of selling my books, everything will come. And Vaish took that to heart, and purity is the force, and you see what's going on. It's amazing. He told me last night he's got his regular Google class going now, and the next class is called Atma. It's the science of the self. So he's got these people signed up. He said half of them are Indian and half of them are Americans. So he goes to Google and gives the class. Who knows what will happen with that. Just recently?
No. I'm pretty sure it was him. You don't remember that?
I don't remember.
The guy softened him up. He got prasad.
Oh, does anybody have anything they want to add? Are there any questions? Yeah, Dharmesh.
Well, I just want to tell a little story. You're talking about giving out books. One person told how he became a devotee. Before he was born, his mom got a book, and she just threw it on the shelf. So when he was that age, 8, 9 years, 10, she started to encourage him to read. So she said, look at that shelf, you have to read all those books. So then he was reading, and he got in touch with that Srila Prabhupada's book, and that's when he became inclined. And he became a devotee. And no, as time goes by, because he always keep going back to that book until eventually he caught up with the devotees. And he said that's the book that really did the trick.
See, that's what happens when Krishna comes. These books are not ordinary. These are Krishna.
Anyway, the devotee's name is Jai Jagannath.
Jai Jagannath. There's one devotee that joined. He was out in the woods. He took a bunch of acid and went out in the woods. And who knows how, but there was a little trilogy sitting out there in the woods. So he picks it up, you know, he's peeking on acid and he's like, wow. So he gets the book, of course, looks at the address, comes to the temple, he joins. Tronakarta. Still a devotee. Tronakarta.
Did he come down yet?
I don't know. I'm still waiting. But the thing is that Keshava Bharti said this too. I really like this. He said that these books are personalities and they're going somewhere. You know, it's not an accident when somebody gets a book. Like when Jiva joined, his friend gave him the book. He got the book in the mall and he came out and Jiva said, what do you got? He said, I got this book. I don't want it. And he gave it to Jiva. Jiva took the book and joined the temple. The next thing you know, he's out selling books in the airport. I mean, this is what happens when you come in contact with Krishna. This is touchstone. This is not ordinary. Like, there's just so many stories where people have come in contact with Krishna, and then they have that choice. And some people make the wrong choice, and they get offended, or they go crazy, or whatever. But on the other hand, some people like it, and some people take advantage of that, and they get the mercy. And whether they come and join, or whether they just keep the book, or whatever they do, Prabhupada said if they have the book in their house, or just like I read that sloka, if you read a quarter of a sloka, how hard is that? Somebody gets a book, right, and you open it up and go, well, geez, I wonder what I got here. Like Prabhupada said, at least they will look and say, well, I paid the money. What is this? You know, they just open up. When some of the gopis became tired from dancing and moving their bodies, they placed their hands on the shoulders of Sri Krishna. And if that's all they get, that's all they get. Somebody else might say, wow, I really like this. Can I find out more? But the first step has to be on the devotee. The devotee has to say, I'm going to go out of my way, and I'm going to give this to somebody. And if you don't have books in your car, if you don't have mantra cards, and if you're not up to it, you're not going to do it. Prabhupada said that it doesn't really matter how many books you sell, but you should do nice service for Krishna and depend on him for the result. And that's a nice mood, which I don't usually have, but it's a nice mood to have. And if you hear enough, you can learn to think that way. And our lives would be so much better if we had like kindness, compassion, and empathy. Things like that that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, they have showed us. This is their mood. When Jagai and Mari were to be saved, and they threw the pot and cut his head, Lord Chaitanya came to kill him. And Nityananda said, no, you can't kill him. If you kill him, you're going to have to kill them all. And that's true. I've seen them. I've seen these people. If you don't give them Krishna books, if you don't give them prasadam, what are you going to do to them? You can't help them. They're on a collision course. Everybody's going down. The people don't live right. They don't. Prabhupada said misdirected civilization. They don't even know how to eat. People are eating wrong. They're living wrong. They don't know how to do anything. So the one in front of all the zeros is when they run into a devotee. They go down to the beach to go to the beach, and they see Lord Jagannath, and they get prasadam and a book, and they hear Hare Krishna. Their lives are changed. So this is, anyway, this is my mood. This is the only way I can do my service. If I don't think like this, yadana kurute bhavam sarva bhuteshu mangalam samadriste stara pumsham sarva shuka maya disha. When a man is not envious and does not desire ill fortune for anyone, he's equipoised. For such a person, the entire world appears happy. Wouldn't that be nice? If you could be in that consciousness, you know, then when you walk up to someone, you go, here, we're giving out these books on yoga, and they go, get out of here. I walked up to this van, this old rattle-trap van, looked like it wouldn't even start. But I see the guy sitting, and he's got a beard and long hair. He looks like Jerry Garcia, right? So I'm thinking, oh, he's a hippie. I'll go give him a Beatles book. So I walk over to the guy, and I get 5 steps to his door. And he starts, you know, he's like screaming, vulgar, well, nasty. And I said, oh, I don't have to tell me twice. I get it. So I just circled around his van, and I was going up and down selling books to people. 20 minutes later, I come stepping out from behind a van, and here comes Nut Job in his van. The guy's coming at me as fast as he can. He's going to run me over with his van. I just came up from behind this truck and looked, and here comes this nut. And I was like, oh, you got to be kidding me. So I just stepped back from behind the truck, and the guy flies by, making hand gestures, and I was just like, I guess he didn't appreciate it. What are you going to do, you know? There's one jiva that didn't like it. But if I kill him, I'm going to have to kill all of them. Just like I was standing at Publix. This was over in Jacksonville, over at Fleming Island. It's a nice area with a lot of yuppies and a lot of money. So I usually don't work it because they kick you out quicker than the poor people. It's funny, poor people have a lot more tolerance. People with money, they got to get on their new phone and call somebody and tell them something. So they see you out at their Publix selling books on yoga. They just can't stand it, you know? They're like, there's somebody out here. He's doing something evil. What's he doing? Oh, he's selling yoga books. He's telling people to smile. He's giving them lollipops. He must be stopped. It's a crime, you know? Get out of here. People are getting raped and murdered and carjacked all over the place. You know, I'm out there giving out suckers. Have a lollipop. Here's a book. I'm not going to kill you, you moron. Anyway, so I'm standing out there working. And this kid comes out and he goes, did you see Leonard Skinner? Who's the last surviving member of a sleazy rock band from Jacksonville. And I wouldn't have known the guy if he kissed me. I didn't know him. But the kid goes, he's coming out and he's wearing a leg brace and he's got a beard. So I'm working the lot. I'm waiting. All right, I'll wait. I'll meet this guy. What the heck, you know? So he comes out and I see him coming. So I go up to him and I start singing one of their hits, you know? I'm going, and he goes, wow, pretty good, man. And he shakes my hand and he goes, and I look at his leg and I go, it's all that hard living, isn't it? And he goes, well, them plane crashes don't help much. What happened is their plane crashed in 77 and they all died except him. And he was injured. But he went on. He was the keyboard guy. And he went on. The band went on. Anyway, so I tell him, I give him I happen to pull out of my book bag Transcendence, Civilization and Transcendence, right? There's a picture of Krishna on it. And I give him the book. And he goes, well, how much is it? And I said, it's just a donation. We give you the book. It talks about inner peace. So Billy Powell pulls out a wad And he's going through the hundreds trying to find something small, you know, he's like, and I'm just standing there going, yeah, you just give from your heart, Billy, as much as you can, you know. And he hands me a $5 bill. He had $5,000 in his hand, and he hands me a $5 bill, and he puts the wad away. And he looks at the book, and he goes, Civilization, huh? And he puts it up on it. He had one of those really nice Mercedes, really expensive car, and he lays it up on his dash. And, oh, Civilization. And he puts it up there, and then he kind of gets back in his car. And I shake his hand and say, okay, Billy, how do you vote? 1 month later, the guy died. So I saved Leonard Skinner. I'm getting T-shirts. I saved Leonard Skinner. I mean, the guy, I swear, it was not four or five weeks later, I read in the paper, Billy Powell died. So I thought, well, that was one guy that got the mercy at the last minute. I just, you know, to me, when I was in the airport, I'd see famous people, and I always go and sneak up on them because I want to see their reaction. I went up to Robin Williams once, and I handed him, you never know what's coming out of the book bag. I pull out a book, and it happened to be a CC. And I go, hey, Robin. And he stops, and he goes, Bhagavad Gita? And I said, close, Chaitanya Charitamrita. So he takes it, and he goes, I have some of your books. I really like them. That was sweet. That doesn't always happen. And then people came up for his autograph and kind of swarmed him. And then, Abe Vigoda, he came up to me and asked me what we're doing. I said, we're giving out Bhagavad Gitas. He said, well, what is it? I said, these books talk about the self. He was in The Godfather, and I recognized him from that movie. So I told him his name and The Godfather, and he laughed, and he gave me $20, and he walked away with the Gita. Then I turned around, and Chaitanya Dasi came up to me and said, did you see Boom Boom? Boom Boom Mancini had just won, I guess he was a welterweight, he had won the championship, got the belt, so he was huge, and he went down through the security where we weren't supposed to go. So, of course, I went through the security, and I went down, and I found Boom Boom. And I said, hey, Boom Boom, congratulations, man. I shook his hand, and I gave him the Gita. And he's looking at the Gita, and he goes, I'm a Catholic. And he's Italian. And I said, yeah, I'm a Catholic too, Boom Boom. No problem. These books aren't about religion. These books are about the self, knowledge of the self. Check it out. So he's sitting there with the Gita, and I had my camera. And I said, can I get a picture? And he goes, yeah, sure. So he's holding the Gita, and I take the camera, and just as I'm going to just snap it, he goes, he's holding the Gita in his hand. I thought, this is beautiful. And then he goes, and he puts the Gita down. It's still, you can see it in my picture. I have the Gita sitting there. He puts it down. He goes, you know, I don't know what you're going to do with this picture. So he puts the Gita down and took his picture. But that's the way it was in the airport. I was always looking for somebody. It was always funny. I remember when Rod Stewart came through and Shankar Pandit caught him. And he had a layover, so he just sat down. Shankar gave him some prasadam, and we had a talk with Rod Stewart for a while, and he bought some books, and he was very, very friendly. Same thing happened with Joe Walsh. When he came through, they came over and bought books from us. Now, that was 74. Now, Joe Walsh goes to programs at Radhanath's temple. He hangs out at Chaupati sometimes. So I thought, that's pretty far out. You know, these guys can't give up on the jiva. You never know who's going to get the mercy. I remember Johnny Winter came through, and you could see him from a mile away because he's got long white hair. He's albino. And I said, Johnny Winter. So I ran all the way over there, and when I got there, he goes, I've already bought the books, but I happen to have an Adi Leela one. Adi Leela. It's bigger than these, huge. And I said, you didn't get this, did you, Johnny? And he looks at me and he goes, damn, I didn't get that one. So he tells his friend, give him $20. Then he walked off with another book. I guess the point is that people that get association with Krishna, like Prabhupada said, people that get these books are being benefited. And Ramachandra was arguing against it, saying, well, most people don't read them. Most people don't like them. And Prabhupada said, but those who get the book and read it, they are being benefited. And people that get them and read them, they are getting benefit, and their lives are changing. We might not see it. When I stood in the airport for all those years giving out books, I hardly ever saw anybody come back and said, oh, thanks for that book, I liked it. You know, never. Because they take the book and they go and never see him again. But I know in my heart, and from listening to Prabhupada over and over again, that wherever these books go, Krishna has a plan, and Krishna's going to save whoever comes in contact with him. And as we've all read, whoever gives them to people, they get the mercy too. So, anyway, thanks for listening, Prabhus. All glories to you, Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.